Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast, Two Johnnies Podcast, Two Johnnies recording a podcast. Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm still Johnny B.
And I'm still Johnny Smacks. Welcome to podcast 152, coming to you like a young lad zipping up and down the town in his Lord Golf, just trying to impress all the young ones. On this week's podcast, he's been dubbed the Gordon Ramsay of the fitness world, whose response to diet fads like detox tea is chat shit, get banged. We chat to author and fitness expert James Smith.
Life is hard for a lot of us at this time, but just remember, at least you're not this man's Limerick son-in-law. Noel Furlong will be here with the news.
We're not saying she's difficult, but even the world's top scientists wouldn't work out what she wants. Maureen is here with her mystery topic.
And as traditional as clips of Kerry people talking going viral, because no one can understand what you're saying half the time. We round off the podcast with our
Yurts and Darts of the Week.
Before commencing with proceedings, though, matters arising from last week's podcast.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, on keeping fit, Lisa got in touch to say, thanks for mentioning pole dancing when discussing all different types of fitness. I took it up over a year ago, and I have to say, it is the toughest thing I've ever done. The amount of upper body strength, core strength, and flexibility you need is unreal. 1 year later, and I'm still absolutely cat at it. But it really is such a supportive environment, so I do highly recommend it. You feel like a badass bitch when you can finally flip yourself upside down.
Aye, aye.
One thing I will say as a PSA for anyone wanting to try it, buy Arnica cream by the bucket because you will have bruises everywhere.
What's a PSA?
Public service announcement.
Okay, thank you, Mar. Like, do you know what pole dancing? Do you know, like, when you take up bodybuilding or something, it's like, oh, I'm going to do a show. Like, oh, when you do pole dancing, is it like, I'm going to... I'm going down, you know, secrets. And I'm gonna put on a banging show some Friday night. It'd
be great to have that in your back pocket, like on a night out, being like, yeah. You know, you're on holidays and some of the clubs have a pole in the corner.
Whip that out.
Be like, oh my God.
Wow.
She's actually class.
My missus is a pole dancer.
I never
class.
Thought you were doing Zumba, love, sorry.
Caroline says, who used to slag the dry robe people, bought one and now loves it. This is Caroline. She says, I get dressed and I jump in the water. Then you can get changed on the beach or take your togs off, throw the dry robe on and then head home. I know what the Donegal lad meant when he asked how far you are from the sea, because I couldn't imagine not living near it. Also, you know Professor Luke O'Neill, who's been in the news loads? Yeah, he... If I opened the toilet seat, I reckon Luke O'Neill could come out. They did a study of people who sea swim versus people doing Tai Chi. Anyway, a hormone was produced in the people who sea swim versus the other group. This hormone protects the onset of Alzheimer's. There's a group on Facebook called Wild Ireland Swimming. There's some hardcore people on it. But to me, it's been a godsend. It's like your body is so cold when you swim that you actually don't feel it. Then when you are warm, it's bizarre. I also bring a hot water bottle and gently pour it over my feet when it's very cold. The sea temperature today is 7. Outside temperature is 4. He also said cold showers work, so start with that.
There you go. I've heard people say that when they get out of the freezing water, they actually feel kind of warm. It's a weird thing.
Man alive. I tried that cold shower one thing. I listened to a podcast that, like, is it like Wim Hof is on it? Is he some, like, guru lad? He was like, have a cold shower. So I had a cold shower. I was trying to get up to the warm as quick as I could. I nearly died, like, of a heart attack.
That's the thing, lots of people have cold showers in the morning, yeah.
Yeah, isn't it weird though, when you're really cold, like something like that, you feel like you have a hot chip in your mouth. It's like an old dog.
Another person was in touch to say, I live in South County Dublin, about 5 minutes away from Sandy Cove and the 40 foot. You know, the very Instagram up your own whole fancy place.
You said it, not us.
the sunrise swim and all that trendy stuff became so popular during lockdown one and has stayed the same since. All young ones going for their swim, then down for a coffee afterwards. The coffee businesses are absolutely booming here. Don't get me started on all the people with their dry robes. Now, they wonder why everyone takes the piss out of Sound County Dublin people. But anyways, my message here is in relation to my father. For the last 15 years, I'd say, he's been swimming down the 40 foot every single day without fail. He says the coldest time of year to swim is January, and the rest of the year is grand. But I can confirm, if he doesn't get his swim every single day, he's an absolute antichrist, and we try to stay out of his way. I don't know what swimming in the Irish Sea does, but it calms him down. So what others say about open water swimming being good for your head is true.
Matthew said, one of my coaches did this triathlon run in Donegal where he had to run, canoe and cycle 250 kilometres in 24 hours.
Jesus,
that's right. He had to do about 83 kilometres of each. And canoeing's tough, boy.
Yeah.
It's very tough in the back. Obviously, he'd be the fittest of my coaches, but when he told us he was doing this, sure, we thought he was joking. Anyway, he did it in 23 hours, which proves the kind of man he is. Wow. There's no money in the world would pay me for 23 hours of pain.
There must have been nothing on the box.
Jesus Christ, must have been a slow day, lad. Must have been a slow
How
day.
How do you train for that? You want some time in your hands?
Yeah, you want to be like, oh, I'm going doing a run there. I'll see you tomorrow.
Fair play to him, though.
Yeah, some going.
And Ryan said, at the start of 2019, our management decided that hot yoga would be a good way to get started once a week for pre-season GAA. Skeptical at first, but the instructor was a cracker, and all the lads loved it. Broke up the week of running. No coincidence, we won the Dublin Intermediate Championship that year and are now flying high in senior football. I put it down to the yoga. Savage. Only a Dublin team would try that.
Yeah, 100%. Like, do you remember when we tried yoga here? One of the boys like went off to India or somewhere and became a yoga teacher, and then he came back like to play.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'll do a yoga class. What was it? Like four lads turned up like.
That's because we're a terrible club. Yeah. Any good club would have hopped on that.
And you know, it wouldn't be too bad now because we're a young team. But like a few years ago, if you'd have said yoga, like lads would have just like put on their new rock boots and walked out there.
Fucking ages.
Matchmaking and Tinder in own emailed. While on holidays in Greece with the lads, we did some tourist crack, seeing the likes of the Acropolis in Athens and so on. After we saw all Athens.
Acropolis,
yeah, shows my culture.
You need to brush up your Greek, man.
Yeah, she's, oh, apologies, Zeus.
Greek banter.
After we saw all Athens, I hate Athens, because like I don't want to, like, you know, sell my soul and say Athens. After we saw all Athens.
Athens? I'm going on around Athens.
After we saw all Athens had to offer, After we saw all Athens had to offer, we compliment with Jesus. Now you've knocked me.
What?
You've knocked me now.
Where are you?
Right, this lad went to Athens, right?
Yeah. How did he get on?
And he said, after we saw all Athens had to offer, such as complimentary starters, which turned out to be not very complimentary, one of the lads, let's call him John, who was single, thought to dive onto Tinder since he presumed he might have more luck than in rural Ireland. Suddenly he got a match that was 1 kilometre away, the minimum distance on Tinder. So all the lads start teasing him, pointing out every girl who walked past, claiming it could be her or her. This went on for a while until she texted him and they got chatting. All the lads thought it would be the usual general small talk, but as it turns out, she wanted to meet. Being the kind friends we are, we let John off on his date as we went off and explored a few Greek pints ourselves. A few substandard pints later, hours had passed and no sign of John. The last bus from Athens to the hotel, about an hour and 30 minutes from Athens. Why does he keep putting that word in there?
From the capital city of Greece.
From the capital city of Greece. This bus was just about to leave. And we were fair quick to let John know, we're not going waiting around for you. We ended up hopping on the bus, which we paid for while none of the locals did. Turns out we got on the second last bus and there was one left for John. We got back to the hotel, got a text from John letting us know he's coming back and not alone. The lads and I included weren't too delighted about this since we're all sharing one big room with an unlockable door in the middle, kind of separating the room in two. Soon we found out the walls weren't soundproof and the TV volume at the max wasn't a great help either. So we opted to wait it out in reception downstairs till they got worn out. After a while, we had the opportunity to say a reluctant hello to this dedicated woman who was wearing John's t-shirt as she decided to use the reception toilets rather than her ensuite for the night. with my passport and cash in my hand under my pillow. Thankfully, we weren't robbed and the noise soon came to an end. Moral of the story, if you're going on a lad's holiday, purchase separate rooms, even if you're in the arse end of nowhere.
That is advice.
That is good advice. But you know what? Fair play to the boys going down to reception.
Yeah.
You know, I'd have definitely waited it out in the room. I'd have definitely been one of those lads going like, listen, I paid fucking 300 quid for this room. I'm staying in it.
You're in the closet.
Yeah. My duvet be just going 90 then. Oh, you ever see Jay from the Inbetweeners when your man is in the bed? In the film. It like cuts him and he's, your man is like, is it, Will is like shifting your one in the bed and then looks over at Jay and he's got his eyes off and he's just talking one out looking back at him.
It's easy.
Funny.
Let's bring it back. Samba soccer.
No, fuck it.
Yes, we're back. The greatest thread of all time about one of the greatest summer camps of all time. John said, when I was 11, I was mad into soccer. In my own mind, I was going to be the next Robbie Keane. My parents wanted me to do something over the summer, so they decided to send me to the nearest Samba soccer camp. My parents didn't know anything about the camp, and they told me I would have South American coaches. They dropped me off the first day at the camp, and they were sure they would meet some South American when I was signing in. In fact, they met the deli man in our local Super Value, who took a week off work to run the camp as head coach. I went in and joined my group and we started the fun. At the end of the first day, we were told on the final day of the camp that Brazilian football legend Ronaldo would be visiting the camp.
Ah, yes. Yes.
As an innocent 11-year-old, I thought this was true and I was really looking forward all week to meeting Ronaldo. On the final day of the camp, everybody gathered in the main field where Ronaldo was expected. Me and my mates were sitting together so excited. Then all of a sudden, the head coach takes out his megaphone and says, we have a very special guest here, all the way from Brazil. Please give a round of applause for Brazilian football icon, Ronaldo. Then came forward this man with a black bin bag over his head. We were all confused why Ronaldo would have a bin bag over his face. Then the head coach makes another announcement and says, it appears Ronaldo has just had surgery on his face and he's not allowed to remove the bin bag. Me and my mates were having none of it. Then six of us, 11-year-olds, ran over to who was supposed to be Ronaldo and we took him down to the ground and started kicking the shit out of him. You know, as 11-year-olds do.
Yeah.
We were trying to
giving him noogies.
We were trying to rip the bin bag off his head so he would speak. All of the other kids in the camp were laughing their arses off when they seen us attacking fake Ronaldo. It was pure WWE Royal Rumble stuff. The head coach jumped in and threw me and my mates away from fake Ronaldo. He called our parents and we had to leave the camp early on the last day. When my mother was collecting me, I saw fake Ronaldo getting into his car with the bin bag off his head. And who was it? Only my older brother.
Oh man.
Fair to say when I got home the mother was not happy with me.
Ah, that is,
where
that
was this? Which you took that, lads? Where was that happening in the world?
I want to know where that was. Jesus. On teachers, we got an anonymous email in the pod. I have a story from my days in school as a student about teachers. When I was in fifth year in school, we had a biology teacher that nobody liked. She was the type of person that would give smart-ass answers and was quite rude to us. Every Wednesday, we had this bitch straight after lunch. One day, anyway, we were all in the classroom waiting for her to come. We saw that the key was still in the door of the classroom, so my friend, let's call him Niall for this, decided to lock the door from the inside so the teacher couldn't get into the classroom. A few minutes later, our biology teacher came up to the classroom door and wasn't able to get in. She didn't have a key to the classroom, so she couldn't get in. She started knocking on the door, but we all ignored her. She was knocking for a solid 5 minutes saying, let me in! Everybody in the class was laughing so hard. There was a small window on the door and she looked through and all she could see was us laughing. She said she'd give us 30 seconds to let her in or she's getting the principal. Niall had the key and decided to stay strong and wouldn't unlock the door. The biology teacher went to the principal's office. The principal came down to the door demanding to be let in. The principal said, I know one of you has the key. Open it now or everyone in this room is getting suspended. Niall had a dilemma on his hands. He decided to keep the principal and the biology teacher out of the room. The principal went to get the caretaker to take out the door. When he got back, he shouted, the door's getting taken out. You're going to have to face the music now. When Niall heard the door being taken out, he put the key inside his boxers. The principal came in, told everyone to empty their pockets. No sign of the key. The principal then said, tell me who locked the door or everybody's parents are being called in and everyone's getting a 2-week suspension. Nobody ratted Niall out. We were like a family. Everyone was so close to each other. We would do anything for each other. Everyone in the class got a 2-week suspension and our parents were called in for a chat. It was fair to say the biology teacher and principal didn't like our class. Fast forward to the end of sixth year and our graduation night. All the teachers and everybody's family are in the school hall. There was 2 microphones on the school stage. The speech is being made and a mass was said. After the mass, the principal made a speech. After the principal's speech, Niall was due to read a poem to conclude the night. After he finished, he said, I would like to thank all the teachers for their time and effort in educating us for the previous 6 years. Just as the principal was about to thank Niall for his speech, Niall put it in and said, and just let all the members of staff know, it was me who locked you out of the classroom and wouldn't open the door. The principal was shocked and didn't know what to say. He must have felt like assaulting. Niall then walked off the stage to the shock of the principal. Later that night, Niall met the principal and biology teacher at the buffet. Oh my God, what school has a buffet?
Yeah.
Jesus. I mean, where do you go to school like? You know, California.
Having foie gras.
Yeah, he shook both of their hands and said, it was nice knowing you. He walked off, never saw either of them again. That is good.
A bit unnecessary.
Yeah.
I'm going to lock you out of the class and then get suspended for 2 weeks.
Yeah,
I can't believe they suspended everyone in the class for 2 weeks.
We got to do something. If you say it, you have to do it.
If I was in that class with Rat Germano, 100%, I'd have been like, don't worry, I won't rat you out. And then like, when the principal was like, who done that? I was like, look, it was Niall.
Yeah.
You know, fucking the first year he robbed my fucking, you know, he robbed me lunch once as well. So if you want to do him for that as well, feel free.
Set a pin in Everton on Niall.
100%. And be like, yeah, you know, like,
Niall is a flat earther.
Yeah. You know the house in town that was burgled? Fucking Niall.
A lot of people saying it was Niall. On ghosts.
Can I just say,
a lot of people saying,
yeah, podcast disclaimer, yeah, we don't encourage school pranks or condone them, but, you know, they are funny and we will read out correspondence from them. So, but yeah, we don't condone them nor we encourage them.
We don't condone them, but send them in so we can all have a right laugh off them.
Niall went on to be an assassin.
Yeah. Niall
chops people up. Yeah. Kieran said on Ghosts,
Niall started the coronavirus. Okay. He was always a bad bastard.
Okay. I was at Halls of Residence.
Niall. I'm dumb with Niall.
In University of Liverpool, the girl in my room next to me mentioned on the first day that they had given her 2 keys and she had left a spare one on the shelf above the bed. Where we were in her room one day and she went to the bathroom, I took the spare key. Every day when she went to class, I would go in and move something in her room. Pair of shoes from one side of the room to the other, the laptop across her desk, a poster from one wall to the other, and then we proceeded to convince her room was haunted.
Oh, he's a bad man.
And she was freaking out. On one day, our lecture finished early and she came back to find the 3 of us in her room that she had locked before leaving, deciding what to move. Called us every name under the sun and took the spare key back off us. It was fun while it lasted, but looking back, it was probably breaking and entering.
And that comes in from Niall.
Niall is the ghost.
He's up to his old tricks again.
On nicknames, a friend of mine was balding in his early 20s. His name was Mark, but we called him Gus because if a gust of wind came, it would have blown the little hair he had off his head. It struck a nerve and he started using hair treatment and spending a good chunk of money every month on caffeine drops and special shampoo. It has actually worked and he's back to having a good head of hair, but he's always known as Gus. I didn't know that worked.
There is a certain shampoo you can, I've seen like expensive shampoos you can get. I have a sneaky feeling that like, I don't think shampoos and that work that well. So there's a good chance your friend Gus, has he been on holidays in Turkey recently? Yeah, Gus was using shampoo and like the shampoo made him grow veneers on his teeth as well. I think Gus has had a bit of work done here.
He had to wear a hat for a month.
Here you go, Johnny. Some correspondence that will really warm your heart. Yes. Alice said, my grandparents were from Golden.
This is on my word of the week.
Yes, and if you were cold, they'd always say, stand in beside the fire there and warm your gowleen. So on gowleen, Golden, meaning fork in the river, but also your gowleen was the little fork in your backside.
Mm.
I don't get that fork. Where's the fork in your arse? Like what?
Like
it's no fork shape.
A fork in a road would be like a Y.
What's
it?
You know, top like of your arse.
You're fucking your gowl. It is what it is, man.
I don't have a gowl.
Yeah, but women do.
Go in there and warm your fanny.
Yeah, I guess. But if you look it up
in on there and warm up your
gooch. If you look it up in Urban Dictionary, it just says Limerick slang for a fool.
Okay, right.
And on moving in with someone, mystery topic last week, Lisa.
It's Lisa, but it's spelled L-E-E-S-A, which is like...
Lisa was in touch to say, my best advice is not to expect someone to have the same standards as you and do not be mad with them as long as they are trying. It will make things so much easier. You have to be flexible to make things work. That was a nugget of advice I got a couple of years ago and has paid its worth in gold.
I can't believe there's actually some correspondence that's made it true that...
it's actually useful.
It's actually somewhere useful.
Cut that shit out,
Lisa. I want to get back to Didlows and, you know, Attens.
Fake Ronaldo.
Right, who's going to get the Two Johnnies podcast mug sponsored by KC Sports, who sell all the lovely Two Johnnies merchandise? See kcsports.ie for more info. What do you think, Maura?
I love the lad who gave the description of the 40-foot as a very Instagram up your own hole fancy place. I thought that was good, but I know yous are going to go on and go for Samba soccer, so...
You know us too well, Maura. You know us too well. Samba soccer will always win. So fake Ronaldo, if you want to email podcast at thetwojohnnies.ie, maybe you should actually give the mug to your brother who is the original fake Ronaldo. So email that at... podcast at twojohnnies.ie with all your contact details, and more. I'll get the mug out to you. Listen, bit of a hold up on the mugs between Christmas and coronavirus and backlogs in on post, but we will get the mugs to you. We're not forgetting about you, okay? Relax, we'll get the mugs to the whole lot of you. Now, weekly roundup, what's going on, John Boy?
Dog updates.
Yes.
People are loving the dog. I finally put him on Instagram.
Is that like putting like your other half on? Were you like... Were you going to do what, like, you know, those influencers do when they have babies and they put up a picture of their baby and put a massive smiley face emoji over the baby's head? Were you going to do that with Goujon? It's like, I don't want people to know what he looks like. You know, I want him to just live a normal dog life. I don't want him to, you know, be getting grief from people. People coming up to him on the street being like, oh, Goujon, can I get a photo?
That's going to happen anyway.
Yeah. Goujon gives an autograph. It's like a paw print on the page. Just smear shit in your page.
Put him on my story, and I was telling you, I found his... People messaged in saying they have his brother down in Cork, and they've named him George.
They have his brother. That's like held captive.
Yeah.
Well, they're obviously torturing him, anyway, calling him George.
George, strange name for a dog. Look, it's going to be... It's obviously a posh family.
Oh, yeah.
I would have to say Goujon is probably a slightly better name. Although, as you suspected, I have met a bit of pushback on the name Goujon. Not too many. Maybe like 20 people messaged me. I can't believe you're naming the dog Goujon, you bastard.
Yeah, but 20 people messaged. There's a lot more thinking it, man. Just 20 people just went to the effort to say, like, you're a spanner calling your dog Goujon.
Yeah, but I think it's class.
Yeah, why didn't you call him, like, you know, Pat Fox? So, like, then when you're down the lack of wanting the dog, right? And, like, the dog gets loose, you're like, hey, Pat Fox! People are like, oh, it's Pat Fox down here. You know what I mean? They're all looking around for like 1990s sensation, Pat Fox.
Should have called him Theo English or something.
Yeah.
Kind of full name, Declan Ryan.
Would you not consider that? No? You definitely want, there's no changing. Do you have to fill out a birth cert or what for a dog?
Have you
got a license?
Yeah, I'm registered for the Irish Kennel Club and all that.
Johnny's like, you're joking, I'm not paying 20 quid for a license.
No, you do. The dog is registered to me and all that. All right. But like, you don't have to put his name on it. He has like a serial number and he's chipped and all.
Okay, so you're going to call him by serial number. Come back, 1537R, come on.
No, Goujon. Best name of all time, we don't know about. So he's getting better at the training, hasn't pooed in my kitchen all week, although I did catch him eating a load of tinsel this morning.
Man, what'd they tell you? You got to smear it a minute, like, you know, if he shits in your kitchen, get his nose and be like...
No.
Listen, Goujon, eat that now, because like that used to be a thing back when I was growing up. Was like, oh, I got caught smoking, and my mother made me eat a 10-pack of Benson.
Did that work?
I don't know. I never smoked, so I never knew. But I heard other people. I don't know how to do the smoke now, but like I imagine eating a 10-pack.
So what? I should get the dog and be like, now eat the entire Christmas tree.
Yeah, do you? 100% top to bottom, lad.
That'll teach you.
Yeah, he'll be out burping. He'll be like, burp. Oh, coughing up baubles. Yeah. Like, oh, I'm not eating a Christmas tree again.
Speaking of tip legends, I was reading the book, Len Gaynor's autobiography.
Yes.
Gas Man, Managed Tip, Managed Claire, and Hurl of Tip. But just on the name of his GA club, he's from Killaran.
Killaran McDonagh's, yeah.
Killaran McDonagh's. And obviously, Tomás McDonagh, 1916, Rising signatory to the Proclamation of Independence. But before they were called Tomás McDonagh's around that area, they were named Lahona DeWets.
Some name.
D-E space W-E-T-S, DeWets, GAA club. After the Boer War was like the white settlers in South Africa having a war of independence against the English around the turn of the century. And there was this general, General DeWets.
Mm.
And he was giving the Brits some trouble by.
He was giving them a bad doing, like, was he?
He was giving the Brits a bad doing in South Africa. And the boys just hated the Brits so much, they named their entire club after this General DeWets.
On an ironic joke.
Like, isn't that mental?
That's like us being like, we don't like Ballynail, so now we're going to call ourselves Ballynail. Ballynail. Any people from Ballynail, don't message in, please, honestly.
No, so yeah, so he was like a, what are they all, Dutch kind of settlers or German?
Where, in Kilwan?
South Africa.
Oh, right. I was like, jeez.
That's why his name was DeWets.
Yeah, no, I know. I thought you were on with Kilwan. I was like, jeez, I live 10 minutes away, but... I'd know many Dutch lads now. There was one lad used to wear clogs, but I think he was just insane. I don't think he was Dutch.
He couldn't get wellies. Right, thank you so much to everybody who signed up to the Extra Podcast, available on Patreon. On this week's Extra Podcast number 42, we were talking about role models we had when we were kids. Some of the strange local people we looked up to when we were youngsters. There was a lad lived down the road from me, and to me, he was like an absolute badass, right?
Okay.
He was tall. It's a good start.
Yeah, it's a great start, yeah.
He's only maybe like 4 years older than me, something like that. Big lad with a deep voice. He was into like metal and all, right? So he had like the long hair and, you know, as much of a beard as like a 16-year-old can have. Yeah. And to me, like, he had loads of CDs, you know? Okay, who else did you look up to, John?
There was a lad locally who like played schoolboy soccer for Ireland. I think he was playing with like St. Pat's or Bowes or one of these teams in Dublin. But man, I thought like, oh, the sun shine out with this lad. And I'd be going home telling my mother, she'd be like, you shut up about him, will you? I'd be like, he's class. She's like, yeah, it's him this, him that. Jesus, eat your dinner, will you, lad? Okay, he's described as the world's fastest growing online PT thanks to his sweary takedowns of fitness myths, fads and dodgy influencers. Please welcome to the Two Johnnies podcast, Mr. James Smith.
We're both reading your books and enjoying it. And one thing that struck us, you've been one of the biggest PTs in the world now, is that you yourself said you were kind of a chubby child. We're wondering, how did that affect you? And you had a very interesting story about going to the lunch lady in your school canteen as well.
Yeah, I mean, when I was at school, by no means I wasn't like a concern for health, but I was shit at football. Like, I wanted to play a good level of football, and like everyone was just beating me. I'd like, oh, go get the ball, and someone just beat me to it. And then after about 2 years, I was like, oh, I'm a bit fat. And I go home, and my mum, God bless her soul, loves me. So every time, you know, if I didn't finish food on my plate, oh, what's wrong? What's up? Well, I haven't finished the food. It was like coming from a very lovingly place. But then when I went to the same woman with how to lose weight, she had no idea. So I'd go to school, canteen ladies. I was like, oh, what one of these foods is fattening? Looking back now, it was burgers, cheeseburgers, chips, lasagna, like, you know, and sitting down all day. And when I went to secondary school, it was a can of Coke first thing. And every time I got kicked out of class, I would just pretend I went to the headmaster's office, but go to the sweet shop. And I'd come back and I'd be dealing candy at school. Remember those sherbet straws?
Yeah.
I'll be coming back with them. You know, I'll be buying them 50p and selling them for a quid. You know, make sure none of the teachers could see. And I'd always be tucking into my own stash. And I just had no real idea of, you know, why it was. And even if you'd asked me at 18, I couldn't have given you a definitive answer. You know, if someone said, oh, how'd you lose weight? I would have said something like, oh, I've got to eat better. I've got to run more. I've got to get my heart rate up. I've got to skip breakfast. And I kind of developed a bit of a chip on my shoulder. I was like, why has no one told me this? Why has no one popped up on my Instagram feed and gone, oi, this is how it works. This is what you should be doing. Stop being an idiot. So I kind of had to become the person who I needed when I was younger.
Yeah. And like, at what age, like you said there, you were conscious of like, oh, I've got fat. Like I was a very big chubby child and still am a bit chubby. But like, at what age did you realize, right, I want to get in shape. I want to get the perfect body as people think, like the perfect body.
I think I started playing rugby when I was 14. And 16 was about the age you can go to a gym. So I remember I was going to a gym and I was getting a lift with my neighbor's dad. Like, I was like, oh, can you give me a lift to the gym? I didn't know what the hell I was doing, but I felt better being there. Yeah. And I think that I was very fortunate to be one of the people going to the gym to get stronger for a sport. Because when you're a rugby player, you're like, oh, I'll lift some weights. If I can bench press this, then yeah. I'll be able to push people off a ruck or whatever it is. And I'm very glad almost that I didn't get suckered into purely going to exercise to look better, which I think is what most people that don't play sport get into. And it was just an ongoing journey, on and on and on. I was like, oh, I need BCAAs. And then, no, oh, I don't need them. Oh, I need creatine. I'm not even keeping an eye on my protein. And then it was like, how many reps should I be doing? You know, like, and again, the resources for this was blogs like T-Nation and, you know, all of these stupid things on the internet, all contradicting itself. And there's so much bro science out there. And it's almost like the biggest dude in the room. Whoever's willing to inject the most testosterone, he knows what he's doing. Yeah. It was a bit of a minefield. And I came probably in the last 10 years, I discovered a lot of evidence-based kind of practitioners in the nutrition field. And there's two things evidence-based people are. One, they don't really look the part that much because they're like an introvert nerd. And two, they're incredibly fucking boring. And I saw a gap in the market. I was like, do you know what? If I can absorb all the information of these boring people who, you know, aren't very charismatic, I'm never going to be in better shape than the good guys. I'm never going to be smarter than the brainy guys. But if I can bring a bit of banter, crass, you know, and deliver something, because ultimately people are on social media because they're bored or they're having a shit at work. Yeah. And I was like, if I can get in and out, like, I used to sell gas and electric to people door to door. This is way easier, you know. Teaching someone like how fat loss occurs while they're taking a shit at work, much easier.
But like that is one of the big things on Instagram or on social media in general, or the fucking internet for that matter, is like fad diets. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, you need to be intermittent fasting. And then the next day something pops up and it's like, no, don't intermittent fasting. Like, you know, just take this stuff and you'll shit your insides out. And then, you know, we'll all have six packs. Like your thoughts on the fad diet thing is brilliant because we've seen it on Instagram and we've read it in the books. Like, can you elaborate on that a bit for us? Like this whole fad diet thing, does it work? Like, obviously fad diets don't.
I've always loved breaking it down. Analogies for me, when I don't understand things, I put them into analogies in my head. So I've become an analogy person. And my favorite one was about people's dogs. Like if I go around my nan's house and a dog's fat, I don't go, nan, that dog's diet's probably a bit too alkaline. Or, you know, is he eating before 1 p.m., nan? He's obviously not being taken for walks and you're feeding him for no fucking reason. And people go, oh, what'd you do? You know what to do. He needs to go for more walks. And although he might be crying a little bit, you've got to take a meal away until he's no longer fat. And then he can be a happy dog again because you can feed him 3 square meals. And it's just a stage of neglect from either end. And I am oversimplifying something that is more complex. But ultimately, people are then suddenly looking at BoomBod in their hand going, why am I drinking this pink bollocks? Then really I should be, you know, getting off the bus stop a couple of stops earlier, taking the hill, sticking to a step count, and maybe tracking my calories Monday to Friday.
You know, like you say, a calorie deficit, is that oversimplifying a bit? Because, or do you think it's just that people don't want to go through the pain barrier?
I mean, ultimately it is, and people will refute it. They'll go, not all calories are born equal. And I say to them, no one's giving birth to a fucking calorie, mate. It's a unit of energy, you know. Like, 2 kilometers aren't born equal, but one could be uphill, one could be downhill. It doesn't change what a kilometer is. And, you know, people will always look to refute and have their own bias and interpret any data that confirms what they're saying. But ultimately, people have an energy problem. It's an energy in versus energy out. And, you know, you could have a thyroid problem. You could be going through menopause. You could have, you know, certain complications with your health. But ultimately, it doesn't play outside the realm of thermodynamics. So it is one of those things where people spend so much and waste so much energy trying to refute it when really they just need to come to terms with the fact that unless they're harnessing power from the sun, they're consuming too many calories for the amount they move. You know, they could be photosynthesizing sunlight. They could be a fucking X-Men.
Okay. Can we ask you yourself? You said that at one time after you had been backpacking, you came home and trained really hard, but that you went almost too far. You had, as you said yourself, a bit of an obsession trying to get the perfect body, and you ended up taking steroids.
Yeah, I became a fucking bellend.
What's the crack like?
Ben, one of my housemates who I live with now, he had a stern word with me once, and he goes, "Smiths, you only got in shape so you could get with hotter birds, and now you don't even go out." He was like, "What's happened to you?" And it was one of those things. I started taking supplements, started taking it real serious. And it was just when I became a personal trainer. So when I became a personal trainer, I'm on Instagram. I'm like, wow, these guys are so big. No wonder they're commanding the room with gravitas. How am I gonna do this? And at first, you're very naive to think that fitness people are just so smart. But they're not. They're just taking testosterone. And a few people come through the cracks like, "I haven't taken it." And I'm like, "Yeah, I can fucking tell." But the majority... I took it, and you make one phone call to the one guy on your Facebook who's massive. "Yeah, can I get some gear?" "Yeah, sweet, cool. How much is it?" "It's not a lot. It's like maybe £100 for 12 weeks. Jesus. And that's less than my supplements cost. But then he was, thank God for the guy I had, he was very informative about all of the things I would have to take afterwards. So post-psychotherapy. So I felt like I was in good hands. Then he convinced me to inject, which was interesting. So I was living at home with my parents. So I'm hiding syringes from my parents at 24. And I'm like, "Son, you're getting a bit big." I'm like, "Yeah, creatine, you know how it is."
Eating spuds.
It was quite funny though, because I got on my clients very well on the gym floor. So I told my clients I was going on steroids. I said, "Look, I want to get bigger. I want to perform better." And they were quite curious. They didn't judge me for it. They weren't like, "You're a bad person." When I was training in the gym, I started wearing baggier stuff because it was so apparent. Like, it was so obvious. Even people I'd never spoken to before would be like, "You're on gear." And if I'm honest, it was fucking amazing. I felt like a dog with two dicks. Like, I was horny, I was sleeping well, I was eating well, my physique was changing. But then you come to the end of it and you can't stay on it forever because, one, your nuts shrink. Your testicles no longer have to produce testosterone, so they become like grapes.
I was just about to ask you, like, you're talking about a dog with two dicks. How was your dick, like, you know, after injecting the stuff?
That's amazing. That's the thing. You have a lot of sex when you're on testosterone because you are the manliest man you've ever been. You've got 8 to 12 times the amount of testosterone you usually have. So like your girlfriend,
like Tarzan.
Like, Jesus. Yeah, exactly. But because your nuts are no longer producing testosterone, they become smaller. They atrophy. And about week 8, I was getting worried because when I was having sex with my girlfriend, my nuts were disappearing inside me. And I was like, oh,
Jesus.
And I'm bit too much information for your listeners, but
they love this shit.
But then when you get to the 12 weeks, you're like, right, I've got to stop, because if I don't stop, chances are if I go into too far of atrophy, my nuts won't get back into cycle. So then I was like, right, what do I take? He's like, oh, I take the breast cancer drugs, then you're going to take the Pregnol, which they give to boys when their balls don't drop. Now you're going to, if your nipples get sensitive, take a Arimidex to stop you developing breast tissue. And I was like, fucking hell. And when I came off, no matter how hard I trained, no matter how hard I turned to the gym, and no matter how well I ate, I lost size, I lost strength. And there's a bit of a low mood as well, where your testosterone is now kind of playing catch up. And during that period, I was like, I'm never going to do this again. 3 months later, I'm on the phone. "Hey, mate, can I get some more?" And this time I was like, right, I'm going to hit it harder. I'm going to be more devoted. And you get in kind of a bit of a cycle with it. And there was probably a few times where I was taking another substance called clenbuterol, which is a fat stripper. And I'm injecting my butt, and clenbuterol is giving me a cramp in my hand to the point my hand is like collapsed, like the strong hand out of Scary Movie. Yeah. it's like, fuck. My mum's asking me like something about like the laundry. I'm like, "Nah, mum, don't come in." My hand's like this. I've got a needle sticking out my butt, and I'm trying to open my hand so I can finish injecting the test. And I thought, James, what are you doing to yourself?
Jesus.
And, after that, I decided, right, I'm going to knock it on the head. And fortunately enough, I actually went to a CrossFit workout, and I ripped CrossFit. I was like, "Oh, you bunch of idiots." And I went to the session, and I loved it. And it was one of the hardest things I've ever done. And so I was like, "Oh, I'll go back." And 2 weeks, 3 weeks went by. And I realized that training for performance was giving me so much more pleasure than just going to the gym to look better. And I realized, going to the gym and knowing there's a guy with the same level of fitness, he's a rugby player, he's the same age, and we got a 1 mile run for time, I was like, I'm going to fucking beat this guy. And doing that gave me more of a buzz than, you know, being the biggest guy in the room, in a room full of, you know, largely insecure people. Yeah. And I was very fortunate to go through that maturity process. And then I came out the other side looking at bodybuilders like, oh, I've been there. And it kind of gave me like an insight to what people are thinking, what they wanted. And I think it made me a better PT, because a lot of guys would come in and they'd be like, oh, I want a six pack. And I'd be like, oh, tell me about your life. They're like, oh, you know, I work in the corporate world. I get a bit boozed a few times a week. You know, I've got my kids at the weekend. And I'd sit back with them. I'd go, oh, do you know what, mate? Like, let's get you strong. Let's get you deadlifting some good weight. Let's get you doing sets of eight chin-ups. But as far as a six pack, if it happens, it happens. But then I'd say to people, I'd be like, you're going to be hungry a lot, and you're probably not going to want to be hungry around your kids. You're probably not going to want to have to cut out booze if you're doing it as part of work.
Yeah.
And then I started being a real personal trainer to real people. And then I started posting content about it. And it, I think there's a lot of people that missed out normal people when they became a personal trainer. They either want elite athletes, or they want to prep people for bodybuilding, or they want to train celebrities, and the normal person got left out.
Yeah. Like, your Instagram's huge and stuff like that. You must get loads of people DMing you. I mean, it's January, and surely every person, like us, we're like, right, that's it now. We've had a heavy Christmas.
Yeah, we're going to get jacked.
New year, new us. We want to get jacked. Like, do you have any advice to anybody who's starting off in January on a fitness journey as such to try and lose weight and try and just get fit in general?
So one of my favorite sayings is, what gets measured gets improved. And I pulled the Garmin back out. It's like the ultimate sex repellent is this Garmin watch, right? I call it the puss repellent, right? I wear that near a girl and she'll think I'm about to do a triathlon. And she'll be like, oh God, nothing against triathletes, although they are kind of, they're annoying people, aren't they? Triathletes.
They just make me feel bad about myself.
Yeah, but they always come in, they're like, oh, just got a new bike. You're like, no one asked. And I just swam a kilometer, no one asked. So I got the piss repellent on, and I'm tracking my steps, and I'm trying to do 10,000 a day. I'm tracking my food, but I'm not beating myself up. I've had four bowls of cereal today, and I'm not going to hit my calories, but I don't care. It's the fact that I'm tracking and I'm making note of things. And, you know, whether it's writing it down on a pad or putting, some people write down what they've eaten and stick it on the fridge, and then they go to the fridge and they know that when they take something out, they've got to make note of it. And I think that through December, your frontal lobe in your brain no longer takes into account anything. You're like, oh, I'm going to drink this. I'm going to eat this. I'm going to do this. I masturbate at 7 p.m. It doesn't matter. Like, yeah. You're just on autopilot. So for when people come into January and they're here, just take note of things. Have a look at your step count, you know. And then they might get to the end of the day and go, Jesus, I barely moved. Well, go walk to the shop and get a Diet Coke. You know, walk to one that's 2 miles away. Listen to this podcast and, you know, just get people on top of the numbers. They don't need to obsess about it. But yeah, if they can track their calories and just see what they're consuming. And this is there's a lot of stigma around tracking calories, but it's only negative experiences that you find out about. And I'm sure that you guys, if you ever look at your reviews or you look at your comments, it's never a fair representation of actually how people feel. You'll say, oh, we've got thousands of listeners, but then you'll see the 2 1-star reviews and that'll just take over your mind. And the same happens with calorie tracking. I would say that if a tub of Marmite's out on the side, people walk past it like Marmite, they're like, oh, someone's left that out. But people that hate it, they're like, oh, why? Oh, Marmite, that's disgusting. Oh, that's horrible. So when you say to people to track their calories, that one person who's got obsessive compulsive disorder that ended up in an asylum from tracking their Weetabix, they're the ones that try and ruin it for everyone else.
You kind of remind me of like you're a Gordon Ramsay for the fitness industry. Like if something's on your mind, you just go on Instagram and you say it. I mean, one of the things was recently was it Cosmopolitan had a load of female athletes, you know, different shapes and sizes, and then you took exception to the fact that they had an obese. I guess you could say it was an obese person in the middle of all these photos, and you had a hot take, I suppose, on that.
Yeah, like it's an interesting one. It really has blown up the internet. Like it's gone crazy. I've got about 10,000 followers from it. If you were to look at the comments, you would say James is hated. You know, he's very unpopular with those people. But these are people that don't even follow me. They're certainly not book buyers. So, you know, I'm not really going to lose. Oh, no, someone that never bought my book is moaning about something I put out. But ultimately, through how the post has performed, it's probably my best performing post in 6 months, which goes to show really what people feel. But we're in this very woke year of, you know, you're not being able to say something. And, you know, if I was to get to my mum and dad, who are not in good shape, they've never been to the gym in their life. I go, Mum, is this lady healthy? They go, oh, probably doesn't look very healthy. Forget my nan, what do you think of this? She goes, oh, no, she's a big girl. And like, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but what I'm saying is putting this is healthy on that, you know, that to me is not okay. If someone had put on there, you know, this is acceptable, absolutely, you know, this is an empowering woman who helps loads of people through what she does. Absolutely. You know, this is okay by societal standards. Absolutely. You know, and there should, you know, this should never be fat shamed. Yes, I completely agree. But saying this is healthy is not, to me, objectively true. And a lot of the statistics that are used about obesity, when obese people are brought into studies to be used, they rule out people that have already got type 2 diabetes. They rule out people that have already got cardiovascular disease. And a lot of these purported statistics are hugely inaccurate. And people are almost cherry picking their own arguments, and they're using all kinds of ways to try and get their opinion across. And I couldn't see that and go, oh, that's fine. And I had a feeling a lot of people in their gut would have agreed with it. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to say what everyone's thinking. And I've put another one out tonight that's really going to last.
But wait, did you feel that that magazine putting it out saying this is healthy would have a bad effect on people? Like that people would see that
and think it's okay to be obese?
Or what, you know, what were you thinking?
When I saw it at first, I knew exactly what Cosmopolitan, just looking to rile some feathers. That's what they're looking to do. And they've done exactly that. The editor there knows exactly what they're doing. And the editor does not, I don't think, cares about these women's profiles and what they're about to be subjected to. She has a narrative that she knows the internet is going to explode about. And you've got the number one no-gi grappler in the world sharing that, disagreeing with it. And it's a very polarizing post. And unfortunately, I feel like those women that are in there are almost like victims to the cause, because some of the athletes now, I commend a lot of the athletes, you know, from, I'd say, I can't remember, I think it was 11, nine of them, absolutely. But two of them, I never said anything about their ability to be yoga instructors or anything like that. I was like, objectively speaking, I just don't think you should put this as healthy, because we're currently right in the midst of, you know, a worldwide pandemic for COVID-19, where objectively speaking, obesity is a big contributing factor to health complications. Now, I'm not saying that we should be blaming them, but what I'm saying is, in this time, we've had 9 months since COVID really started affecting international travel. Where has the leadership from governments to help people get in shape? You know, what about, hey guys, we're going to keep gyms open, we're going to subsidize personal training, we're going to subsidize group classes. Any of you that are obese or at higher risk, we're going to do our best to get you fit, get you healthy, get you losing weight. What we ask from you is that you don't visit care homes, you don't visit those at high risk. We're going to help with all of these different things. But no one's spoken about that. No one's really taken the ownership. We've got evidence stating that if people are fit and healthy, they have a better chance of surviving this. Yet all we've cared about is segregating people and keeping them apart. And I think it's just a massive disservice to people in general to be, you know, it's not glorifying obesity, but we're trying to, we've spent the last 20 years trying to help these people. Type 2 diabetes used to be called adult onset diabetes because it was developed with adults. We've now got kids having this. And it's really one of those things where I feel like in a bid to stay woke and in a bid for people to, Cosmopolitan's seen this wave, anti-diet, body positivity acceptance. And I'm about that. I wear budget smugglers. And budget smugglers say they do the average rig of the year competition. They don't say be fat. They say show us the most average rig. And they go, if you rock a pair of budget smugglers, good on you. They say if you can fuck your missus and you can swing an axe, that's good enough to wear budget smugglers. And that to me is body positivity. But they're not saying, right, let's have an obese physique of the year. And it's one of those things where I've spent nearly a decade trying to help people get in shape, and there are people literally on the edge of giving up. And I've worked with these people so many times, and they're literally coming to you for a last ditch attempt. They go, James, this is my last attempt to get a grip on my health. And I don't want them to look at that and suddenly sit back and go, oh, do you know what, it's actually all right. And I don't think they really would, but I just wanted to get it out there because my tough love approach won't work with everyone. But so many people have said, James, you give me the slap in the face I needed. And yeah, it's just something I won't stand for. And even if it meant, when I posted that, I was willing to lose 100,000 followers. I didn't care. To me, the integrity of saying what I believe is more important than pleasing everyone.
Just one thing we spoke about on this podcast ourselves was body image and the philosophy that, like, you know, being a few pounds overweight, you can still be fit. You know what I mean? I think, like, we've got GA here and a lot of the thing is like, he's too heavy. It doesn't matter how he's performing. It's just to look at him. He just looks too heavy. That's one of the things that I've had said to me and stuff like that. Like, it is the image that we're looking at. So when I flick on Instagram, I'm going to see, bang, like, you know, a men's health cover will come up and there's a lad there with the bulkiest fucking six pack. They're like briquettes coming out, like in incredible shape. Is that doable? I mean, are we, is there unrealistic standards in the fitness industry for men particularly?
Unhelpful, really.
Yeah, massive. And what the internet has done is exposed us to all corners of the earth. If you were to say there are 10 goddess, you know, Chris Hemsworth-esque men in the world, we get to see them all, and they've all got big followings because of the way they look. And all you need to do is know their tag. That is it. And you can access their life, their daily story, their highlights. You can go back and see who they were fucking in 2019. You can do anything you want, right? And it's never been more accessible. Now, someone with a normal body, I don't care about that. No one's talking about that. And that is skewing our reality. And if you were to think about your friendship group or your town or your local sports club, these physiques don't really exist. And pre-internet, you would never have seen that. And, you know, if you'd seen that, you go, oh, God, that guy's got some kind of condition. He must be kind of ill. And again, you never really know what's going on behind the scenes. You know, it could be natural, probably not. And if it was my job to get loads of engagements turn up on your guys' Instagram feed so I could show off my muscles covered in baby oil to promote products to sell, swipe up, I would be fucking taking all the gear. I'd be calling up my dealer again. I'd be like, mate, I need more. Oh, it's bad for your health. Don't worry. I'm making money from this.
Yeah.
And you don't know the hunger he's going through. You don't know when his dick last worked. You don't know, you know, Dwayne Johnson, I love the guy, but he's had to have his gyno removed over the years. So he had breast tissue removed from his nipples. I would love to know the amount of gear that guy's on now. No one in their 50s looks better than they did in their 40s, looks better than what they did in their 30s. Yet he quite literally has the largest Instagram following in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is absolutely,
that says something.
And James's book, Not a Life Coach, Push Your Boundaries, Unlock Your Potential, Redefine Your Life. It's out now and available from all good bookshops. Obviously, bookshops are closed. Just search it online. You'll find the book. He's got two books out at the moment, and we would actually recommend them. He opted to sing the Galty Mountain Boy and named the tip team from the 2001 final rather than give a father the bride speech at his daughter's wedding. It's time for Noel Furlong, and it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News! It's Noel's News!
How are you?
Fell on there talking about it. It's true.
Who?
January.
Yeah, James Smith.
Oh, John Paul is a home man for the gym.
Is he?
Yeah, wants to get taller.
I don't think that's humanly possible.
His mind, he's set on it.
And when he sets his mind to something,
he'll do it. That's gangery for him.
I wonder what exercise he's going to do.
You know, up and down ladders and roofing.
Okay. Roofing. Yeah, there you go. Designed to make you taller.
But that's January for you.
That's January, but yeah.
January, but Fong. Fong is outside, but. And he's after getting big into the dogging.
What?
Yeah, he'd be inside Destra. Up the mountain. Out in the field. Carmel was asking, but I said, look, should a bit of company for the man, you know? As long as he knows what he's getting into. Because a dog is a lot of work. He got a new lurcher.
Oh, right. That's the dogging.
Ducky.
Ducky.
Ducky the dog.
Ducky the dog.
Oh, he's big into it.
Is he?
Yeah, he had a ducky inside in the passenger seat. He put a high-vis vest on the dog. And I seen him coming up to town. And I said, geez, he's after getting a particularly hairy new girlfriend. Did you know the one Fong used to go with?
No.
No, Susan.
No.
Oh, Sue's. Talk about a sneery article.
Go away.
We had her over. Oh, I don't eat meat. So you haven't time. You never stop fucking talking. You salad. And then.
You call her a salad.
I did. Bitch. I've no time for the woman.
No.
She went off with the milkman.
No way.
Yeah, and you know how much Fong loves milk. He said, since that day, he hasn't drank a yop.
No way.
He couldn't do it.
And he loves the yops.
He couldn't do it. Yogurt. Are you fucking crazy? He couldn't do it. Not a horse.
Shit.
Heart is broken, the man. And then she went off with the postman.
What?
And you know how Fong loves the post.
Well, he does love the post.
As a child, he used to be waiting down into the boreen. And he'd say, who's this man, Mammy? Mammy, who's this man with the letters?
The letters.
He thought they were from the postman. He's like, this man is a god. He have news from my aunt in Australia, and he's given us electricity.
Why is he giving...
The bills. The postman's coming with the bills. Okay. Okay. I'll have the money for you next week, said Frank. You know? Talking about the ESP. Sue's. Then she went off with the ESP man.
No way.
But Frank wasn't around.
he's not the ideal boyfriend, is he? He's never fucking around.
What bet all out? She went off with the bin man.
No way.
He opened up the bin. The wheelie bin. She was inside it.
She was inside it.
As a fact. The wheelie bin. I swear on Carmel's good cardigan now.
Yeah.
She was inside the wheelie bin.
Oh my God.
And for a finish, she ran away with the skybox man. She fell in love with the skybox man. He had 400 channels.
Oh, jeez.
And she had a box. She ran away with the skybox man.
Oh, my God.
In the skybox van. Never.
What's his name?
To be seen again.
What's his name, skybox man?
Joe. Joe.
Joe.
The skybox man. Most people don't know his name.
Do they not? You just know him as the skybox man.
He only goes as the skybox man.
Sounds like a shit superhero. Skybox man.
And she was never seen again.
Oh my God.
Until following Tuesday. Because he only lives in town.
Okay.
It's a small town. He called many a house, but I would say, lads, I have one bit of advice for you now. Beware the skybox man.
That's fantastic advice.
Right, bit of news for you now, bit of news.
Lovely.
Headline. Man makes fool of himself while drunk. Not new there.
No.
This is you. Yeah. I once tried to fight the library. Do you know that? No at all, prick. A man in Staffordshire, England, a 30-year-old man, he got so drunk... He went online and legally changed his name to Celine Dion.
I've seen that.
Yeah, fact. The man formerly known as Thomas Dodd is a big fan of the Canadian singer. Now, I think she sounds like a tire going flat. But he had been watching her do a stream. I don't know what she's doing. Is she fishing or? And she's a big mountain. I'd say she could dredge a river, that one. When Thomas... arrived home from work a few days later, he found a big white envelope. Not new there, says you.
Yeah. Right? Okay.
Not new there. In it were 10 copies of the certificate. He paid extra for 10 copies.
Oh my God.
Legally changing his name to Celine Dion. And he says he have no plans to change it back, but he hopes he doesn't get stopped by the guards in case they think he's a complete lemon. Well, I swear, on Cameron's favourite trousers, if any of my sons changed their name, they'd get the foot.
Would they?
They'd get the foot by.
Would you draw a boot?
I would. Huh? Not new to yours, as you. I don't mind nicknames.
No.
Do you know my neighbour, Liam the Ram?
Yeah. Why is he called Liam the Ram?
Oh, born to saddle. Mother said he was a 10-pound baby.
Go away.
Yeah, 6 of it was his flute. Did you ever see a dog carrying a big stick?
Yeah.
That's Liam by.
Liam the Ram.
You're the first baby to ever impregnate a woman. Don't ask me how. Don't ask me how. But his own son is only a year younger than him.
Oh, that's my fact. God. There's no way that's true.
That's what I'm after saying.
That's a fact. Sorry, yeah. Sorry, sorry.
There's a chap in Clarahan called Febreze. He was the first man in town to wear aftershave. Pure necessary.
Yeah. Would you not wear aftershave now?
Never.
Why?
Well, I don't shave.
Okay.
So I would now probably shave on Sundays.
So I don't
check. Well, it isn't every day, it's a Sunday.
Yeah, true.
Say for mass or whatever. Dan Bryan once tried to change his name as well.
Did he?
Yeah. He started wearing his collar turned up and he wanted us all to call him Baggio.
Baggio.
He began to put on an Italian accent all of a sudden. This went on for weeks.
Dan Bryan.
Yeah, this went on for weeks. He was going around the place like he was playing for Juventus. Yeah, mamma mia. Turns out he had a stroke.
That's ridiculous. He had a stroke.
Arrivederci.
Thanks a million, Noel.
I must go away.
I hope you're staying safe during the lockdown.
Yes. Nothing new there, says you. Beware
of the skybox man.
Skybox man.
Joe the skybox man.
Well, that could be his name. I heard he has many names.
Many aliases.
And many channels.
Okay, dry January means no lady petrol for her. We hope she's coping all right. Maureen, what's the crack? What's your mystery topic this week?
My mystery topic this week is Harry Styles and his eccentric fashion taste. So I'm wondering, would you be brave enough to copy Harry Styles' sense of fashion? Are you ever hesitant to wear stuff because it might be considered a bit out there or not fit in with your image? And I'm wondering, what's the most eccentric outfit you've ever worn? So to give people who are unfamiliar with Harry Styles' fashion sense, here's a bit of background, right? In 2015, now he did always have a bit of a quirky sense of fashion when he was in One Direction. Like, all the other lads would be wearing ties with their suits and he'd be wearing a big dicky bow. But in 2015, he started collaborating with Gucci. And since then, he's worn things like floral suits, pussy bow blouses, pearl necklace, flared trousers, heeled boots, and my favourite, which I actually think is class, a sweater vest covered in sheep. And last November, he made history as the first solo man to ever grace the cover of American Vogue. And he did it while wearing a periwinkle ball gown designed by Gucci. Now, as you'd expect, some conservative commentators started bleating about, you know, bring back manly men, etc. But I'm wondering, do you think nowadays it's a bit easier for young lads to be adventurous with their fashion sense? Who are your style icons? And do you think that young lads follow your fashion sense?
Oh.
What? Jerseys and tracksuit bottoms? Just on Harry Styles, like going on magazine covers, wearing a dress and a pearl necklace. He's not doing that to be stylish. He's doing that because it's a photo shoot, in my opinion now.
He's really doing it to stand out.
Yeah, he's not been like, oh, this actually looks great. That's...
Do you know why I reckon he wears all those outrageous stuff? Mm-hmm. Tax purposes. Genuinely, hear me out, right? Do you remember ABBA had all the funny costumes?
Yeah.
Yeah, the reason they done that is, right, if you're wearing costumes, they're tax deductible.
Mm.
So me and Johnny did think about, you know, dressing as hot dogs on stage there to try and, you know, for tax purposes.
But if we're doing a show and we're like, oh, we should buy shirts, they're not tax deductible.
They're not tax deductible because they're seen as clothing. Okay. Whereas if me and Johnny said, right, we're going to wear matching highlighter green suits.
Okay.
You could probably make a case for them, you know, if we needed them for the creative performance. So that, I reckon that's why he wears all those one pieces. Like, he looks like Elvis, like. In some of the clothes he's wearing, like, genuinely, there's one video online he performs at the Brits and, like, it's a knockoff of what Elvis used to wear.
But that's the fashion now. Even in... hang on. So it started, like, 2-3 years ago. Basically, people are like, I'm just going to wear the goofiest clothes I can.
Yeah.
Even people who look cool that I like Sam Fender, I've never seen him wear clothes that fit him. And he can afford them.
Yeah, that's
He's
true.
Not chopping in Heaton's. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's the style now. He's like, you know, kind of like floppy...
Curtains.
Curtain. Oh, yeah, like messy hair and just wearing the goofiest stuff possible. So the more famous you are, and someone like Harry Styles, who is striving to leave his boy band image behind and be seen as like a credible, unusual artist, dresses up his music. I mean, look at, like, Watermelon Sugar is not that weird a song. It's a very normal pop song. But it's just got a funky name and, like, he's a funky dude. So it like pushes it another small bit.
He's somewhere between Elvis and Elton John with his costume.
With his costume, but not with his music.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, do you remember we went to Edinburgh a few years ago?
Yeah.
And like, I swear to God, it was like we had got into a time warp, a time machine, and it brought us back to 1994. Like, everybody looked like Gary Neville when he just made his debut for Man United. They all had like curtains on their hair, like, you know, the undercuts with like middle partings, like all the fellas, and like old school Umbro jumpers that like looked like someone fucked him in the Sue Riders in 1994, and then this lad went in and found it and was like, oh, that's retro, that's class. Honestly, I remember standing in, no, I was a few pints deep, but I remember standing out in the courtyard of the place we were playing, and I was like, what is, are we actually, like, if someone put on Scatman now, I think, Jesus Christ, we're in the 90s. That is how close it was. Everyone's in like boot cut jeans, like massive boot cut, like
what's
Wranglers.
What's back in fashion? The oversized white Levi's t-shirts.
Yeah.
They're straight out of like 1990.
Yeah. It's mad how close retro is getting to like, you know, current. It's supposed to look 1990, it's 30 years ago.
Jesus,
yeah, I just feel old when I think about stuff like that. I don't want to think about it like that.
It depends where you're going with your gear, Mara. Like, if you're just going down the pub here in Care, going to Morrissey's or the Shamrock or Care House for a quiet pint, yeah, I probably wouldn't wear a onesie with a necklace. Yeah. But if I was going to a nightclub in Miami, and Smack said to me, like, look, there's like a scandalous shirt. I'd be like, yeah, go on, I'll give that a go.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have an oversized shirt that I got from Zara that's like kind of black satin, and you know the one that's leopards and tigers on it?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Smacks, I think you gave serious thought to actually borrowing that off me to wear, right?
Yeah, 100%. I wore like a really like, it was like a Gucci knockoff. I'm not operating at a level yet where I can quite shop Gucci. But I got like a Gucci kind of knockoff shirt, and it was like yellow and black and had all cool, it was like satin kind of, had cool designs. And I was like, that's class, I'm wearing that. Now, I would be adventurous enough, out of the two of us, I'd probably be more likely to wear adventurous stuff. And I wore that, and my hair was like quite similar to the colour I have it now, it was blonde. And the boys were like, hey, Joe Exotic. Yeah. And I was like, fuck. And for the entire night then, I was like, why do I bother wearing this stuff? Like, when I'm just going to get rinsed, like, and I was so tempted. We went in to have a meal. I was so tempted to text Annie and be like, look, come in and bring another shirt. Don't make a big deal about it. I'll come out to the car and change the shirt. And
tell
so,
him I spilled something on it.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. Get the curry. Just spill it all on me top. And like, oh, I must change. Yeah, around our friends, I tell you, you wouldn't be dressing too outrageously unless you wanted to get absolutely, like, hammered for the entire night. But I would take chances on clothes, definitely. Do I think people dress like me? Definitely not, I'd say.
Well, I can actually tell you you're wrong in that, because a mother told me that she bought her son loafers for his confirmation and he wouldn't wear them for the confirmation. And then he seen ye wearing the loafers with the ankles out, and then he was like, oh yeah, wore them. Like,
yeah.
With the ankles out?
I do like loafers with the ankles out. No, I really like that style. And then like, people were like, oh, you're like Jiminy Cricket. And I was like, wouldn't you fuck off? Yeah, like, I went on the Late Late with my ankles out, and I swear to God, I'd say 100 comments were like, fucking young lads with their ankles out. And I was like, class, they called me young lad.
Get a life, you useless bastards.
Yeah, that was about as adventurous as I get. One time, I went to one of the boys' weddings, and do you remember like those check shirts or those check suits kind of were just like, this was before everyone had a check suit.
Yeah.
And like, I went into Val and Mr. Blow, and I was like, look, I want a suit no one else has. He was like, this is just came in. Like, he got out of the back. He's like, I haven't even put it up yet. And it was like kind of brown, a brown suit with a bit of check on it, and had like, it didn't quite have an elbow pad on it, but it was like that, you know, material. And it was a nice suit, like. And I wore it anyway. I was like, yeah, that's a bit of me now. Like, no one else at the wedding will have this, like. So,
yeah.
Brand new suit. Got the legs taken in, the whole lot.
Boys were calling you McGregor and all.
No.
Yeah.
Do you know what the boys were calling me? Sherlock Holmes. I rocked up, and the boys were like, fucking Sherlock Holmes, lad. I was like, great. At the church then, I said, the whole way through the mass, I was just saying to Annie, I fucking, do you know what? I should have just got a plain suit. She was like, I told you I should have just got a plain suit. I was like, oh, well, you're not helping it. Like, so for the entire day, I got fair pissed because I couldn't listen to people calling me Sherlock Holmes any longer. And I swear to God, that suit, still at home, hasn't been worn since.
God.
Yeah, but about 6 or 8 months later,
everybody in town had that suit, yeah.
Similar
style of suit. So yeah, even my blonde hair now at the moment is probably a bit out there. That's quite adventurous for me.
It should be a crack.
Yeah. But there was a point there where I pulled up the shop the other day and I was like, oh, do you know what? I'll just put on the hat now. I just put a woolly hat on. I was like, come here. Like, you know, it's grand. Like, no one really cares. Like, you know, but in my mind, I'm like, they'll all be looking at me. And then it's like, no, no one gives a shit. But then, you know, the odd lad might be like, I remember last time I dyed it and I went down to GA Club and the boys were like, oh, the fancy man. And I was like, the fuck does that even mean? Like, the fancy man. And then they were like, because at the moment it's like white grey. Yeah. It's actually ash is the colour it's dyed at the moment.
Oh, okay.
And they were like, are you that stressed over the minor team? You're gone grey. Lord, I'm laughing. And thinking, I was like, yeah, comedians, lads. Thanks. Yeah, cheers. The fancy man. The fancy man. So you won't dress too outrageously around here, Mar.
Okay.
In lockdown, no, I think I'd like to be more adventurous, but I just can't bring myself to put on Attenbar tracksuit pants.
Yeah. Like, no jeans January, lad, I'm going for here. Yeah. I'm in tracksuit pants every day. So I'm not going to put on jeans until I need them. I remember the last lockdown, we went for like a business meeting in Dublin.
Yeah.
And I was two like, oh my God, well, you have jeans on. Yeah. It was like, I hadn't put jeans on around 2 months. So, no, I like dressing up and I like feeling nice. One of my favourite parts of going out when we used to be able to go out was like getting ready. It was big bus.
Oh, Mara. When I used to live with Smacks and Shock Ice back in the day, getting ready, having a few pre-drinks, from the shower to this, you must use a gallon. You must go up to the petrol station and get like a 6 gallon drum.
Paco Rabanne.
Or Paco Rabanne. And he'd be dancing around, getting all the clothes would be laid out.
Yeah, my going out song used to be Crocodile Rock by Elton John.
But the clothes would be laid, the t-shirt would be on the bed, and then beside it would be the jeans, and then beside that might be the socks, and then whatever, the watch might be beside that. Like, it was all laid out, lad. Like,
yeah, I still do that. Particularly before shows as well.
Really?
Yeah. If we have a show, I always have to shower right before I'm about to leave the hotel or wherever we're going.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, yeah, I'm in the zone now.
Okay.
Yeah. So just so
ready for a few quiet pints down the local.
Yeah, it's like, I remember wearing loafers into the Shamrock going, I could have wore runners.
Well, I'll take hints. If anyone out there has any good websites, preferably Irish ones, but where I could get some mad clothes, yeah, I'll try them out.
100%. Yeah, we'll start dressing more edgy so for the crack and see how we get on. The stylist who styled us for the TV show with the suits and all that, like, there was actually stylists worked on a Christmas TV show. The makeup ones have a bit to answer, all right? We had a lot of makeup on.
Oh my God, look at the photos. Yeah. One side of my face has like a ridiculous amount of bronzer.
They definitely didn't like us and just done it like
sabotage. My face. Like, yeah. People message me about it. I'm like, I don't know.
We didn't put on the makeup, you know what I mean? But anyway, the stylist...
Well, she's like getting the costumes. Neve, more.
Yeah, costumes. Yeah. Yeah. I'm definitely getting her. I'm definitely getting on to her to like sort out my wedding suits and stuff. Like, going to style. Oh, yeah. She was like, I looked up your Instagram. I know you like to wear your pants tight and you have your ankles out. And then she was like, here's a suit. And I'm putting it on. And it was the best fitting suit I've ever had. I was like, you're a genius. Yeah. So, yeah. Just get her to do. I was thinking about like for Christmas. I was like, could I just transfer money to her account and like, you know, she just send me the stuff then. Be fair handy.
Personal shopper. Yeah,
cool. That is a real thing.
Yeah. Any professional personal shoppers out there, get in touch with us.
But 100%, she'd like send me all the stuff and none of it would fit me. I'd have a fucking breakdown then.
Shop local.
Maura, I think that's one of my favorite mystery topics of all times.
Oh, thank you. Enjoy
yeah,
that.
Thanks very much.
If I could explain, I think, as a teenager, I always wanted loads of GA jerseys, and now I have them.
Yeah, it's fucking, you've got some amount of jerseys, like.
Oh, I know, yeah. I keep getting told, because like, there gets to a certain point where you have to start wearing other stuff besides GA jerseys, like, you know.
Like what? And in what scenario?
He's like Benjamin Button, Mara. He just doesn't want to grow up. Or Peter Pan.
Yeah, like, you can't be, I don't know.
Michael Jackson had Neverland and was obsessed with Disney. Johnny V has GA jerseys. So if he ever asks you around his house to look at his GA jerseys, fucking run.
Hey man, do you want to come in and look at my jerseys? Mara, what were you going to say?
Just like you wandering into like, you know, a parent teacher school meeting with like, you know, New York GA jersey on you. It's like, well, how's the young lad getting on? It's like, you want to look a little bit kept, you know what I mean?
Growing up. You see, he's trying to look young, Mark. That's how it is.
I just don't
you're
judge.
Forgetting that.
You see, I just don't judge people on their appearance, man. You know, I look for what's inside people, you know. Yeah, yeah. Judge people by their actions, man, and their ethics, John, not by
Yeah.
You know? Not, but you're not the money in your bank account, you know? You are not your job.
Yeah. Personal shoppers, get in touch. Don't forget to rate, review, tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast. Use the hashtag Two Johnnies Pod. That's the number Two Johnnies Pod to spread the good word according to us. And you can get in touch podcast at thetwojohnnies.ie. Future topics and you want to hear correspondence. Instagram at thetwojohnnies. It's all there. You'll find us. I'm like Ray Darcy there now at the moment. Okay, text in. Johnny, Yurt and Dirt.
Dirt. Which do you want first?
Surprise me.
Just to clarify, quick word of the week. I hear it thrown around a lot these days. Mm. Is she bean? It's only a she bean if you're taking money.
Okay.
It's an unlicensed premises that's trading. It has to be unlicensed. So, you know, when people at the pub are like, oh, they might call their snug.
Yeah.
The she bean, whatever. Yeah. It's like technically.
It's not a she bean.
Incorrect. Yeah.
Yeah. She bean is only when you're charging.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
a lot of them being raided.
But they have, that's if you're taking money and having big gatherings for COVID.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can just go online and buy a beer cooler for yourself if you want. Yeah. My yurt of the week is there was a movie made in Ireland. You know, I love Fatal Deviation.
It's Mikey Graham in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But the set in County Meath there, like a martial arts movie. Well, I found another one called Moving Target.
Wow.
This lad found it on French eBay. He found the DVD of a Connemara Kung Fu movie. And I've been trying to find it anywhere. I'm just going to play you a couple of seconds of Moving Target right now.
Excuse me. I ask you again. Where is the Beamish? I drank it.
Oh, jeez.
You dumb son of a bitch.
So... the plot is that the IRA are trying to get nuclear detonators and they've been hidden in a six-pack of Beamish.
Ah, lads.
So this American
How
guy...
How much drugs was the writer on?
Who's like a champion kung fu artist. Like, he's actually class. They've somehow roped him in to be in it. And he seems to play like an American who's going out with a local Irish girl and he gets caught up in this.
Oh, of course he does.
And there's all these fight scenes where it's like... give me the Beamish. But that's my beer. So if anyone knows where I can watch the full movie, A Moving Target, let me know.
My dirt, this is odd. I don't want people to take this the wrong way. Do you remember I got a new bed there a while ago?
Oh, okay.
Right? I was telling you about this. New bed, right? Fucking expensive enough bed now. Right? I got it in Harvey Norman. I'm not calling out Harvey Norman or anything. But I got it and it's got like, obviously, you know, it's not really got legs. It's kind of... it's not panels either. No, it's not a base. Okay, yeah, it's got legs. but not like... not, you know, not those real skinny old style legs.
Okay.
It's got like sturdy yokes. Four, like, obviously in each corner, right? Okay. But it's got two middle legs as well.
Yeah.
And now in the middle legs keep folding. Now, obviously, I'm a big lad. You know what I mean? But like, the bed, the middle legs are like broke on it already. Is there like... I just want to know. I want to put out there to people. I've Googled it and stuff, but like... is there such a thing I can put in the middle of the bed as a support instead of like skinny little legs?
I'll have a look for you.
Yeah, but like you say that and then like I asked you to like help me put down laminate floor one time.
And it's still down.
And you arrived on with a handsaw.
Yeah.
And I was like, are you going to call in by hand? And you were like, yeah, I can't find the circular saw. So like I'm kind of...
and did it get done?
Yeah.
And it's still down?
Yeah, but...
oh,
like,
that's a happy ending, everybody.
You could have done it tastier now.
Oh, the game.
You're out of the game, like, yeah, okay. Will you have a look at that stuff? Oh, I can't believe we're addressing this on the podcast. Anyway, my yurt of the week. On Netflix, Comedians in Cars Drinking Coffee. Have you watched this, Maura?
No, I haven't, actually.
It is incredible. Jerry Seinfeld goes around and picks up comedians and they just go for coffee and drive around in fancy cars, right? So it's a bit about cars... and then mostly just chatting shit, right? Here you go. I'm going to make a pitch for a TV show so no one else can rob it.
This is not how it works, but anyway.
I don't care. I'm going to do it on the podcast so no one else can rob it. Lads going round in cars getting chicken rolls, right? Hosted by the two Johnnies. Who doesn't want to see a host of worldwide celebs going up to, like, you know, the deli in the Apple Green and been like, oh, can I get a large brown roll? Like, you know... people want to know what Barack Obama gets on his chicken roll. So yeah. The two Johnnies front up this TV show. We drive around in like nice car. We get a loan of cars off people, right? drive around in them, and we just bring lads to different chicken roll places and we rate the chicken rolls and just chat shit. So that's my new TV show pitch. You've heard it here first. Don't anyone try and rob it, all right?
All right. I hope I'm a part of it.
Yeah. You know, you're in. It's the two Johnnies, man.
Oh, class. Great.
Yeah. Cool. It's not just me here, right?
So who's driving the car?
I'll probably drive. I'm probably... Mara said I'm a better driver, so...
That's lies.
Mara, who's a better driver?
I would say Smacks.
Yeah, there you go.
Who's but better at parking? Much.
Doesn't matter, like. We'll get class cars to park themselves.
Those old retro cars don't park themselves. Only new cars park themselves.
I'll drive, right? And we'll have whoever the guest is in the passenger seat. And then you can sit in the back and stick your head in through the middle.
That's unsafe.
Okay, wear a seatbelt. Just loosen the seatbelt.
No, how about me and the guest go in the back?
No, sure. Then I'm just like a chauffeur.
Yeah.
No. Okay. We'll have to work on the dynamics of the show, but there's our pitch anyway, if anybody wants to pick it up. That's it from this week. We hope you're all staying positive. Mind each other.
Mind yourselves.
Do what you're told and, you know, stay at home whenever you can and mind yourselves. From me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
From me, Maura.
We'll see you next week. Same time, same channel. Good luck.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.